If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time for our Thursday visit with Richard Roper, and today we're going to talk about a documentary series that's streaming right now, and also a huge local and national story, Rich.
Yeah, the Tylenol murders are back in the spotlight, Bob. It's been, 1982 was the year when it occurred, and Netflix has a new documentary series called Cold Case, The Tylenol Murders, which is one of the most viewed programs on Netflix right now, because there's not only local, but national and international ongoing fascination with this case. As you know, everybody who was around there remembers the shocking details of this case. In fact, there have been two documentary series. There was one on Paramount Plus a couple of years ago. And you know what they do with these documentary series that are set like in the 80s? They always like to do the scene setter, right? Mm-hmm. Showing like the music of the time, MTV or whatever. So we actually have a clip from the Paramount Plus series.
Chicago Fest has become the largest outdoor music festival in the world. Chicago!
Now, I recognize that voice.
You were reporting on Chicago Fest, which was the big deal before Taste of Chicago. Where were you then? Where were you working?
Channel 2.
When I was watching that documentary series, you're like the first person that comes on there. And I'm like, oh, you know, you're our own, you know, historian of the times. It's nice to see that.
And I'll tell you something. I remember driving past a house on, I think it was Fullerton, that was tied into the case. Yeah. Remember?
Well, for people who don't know or maybe don't remember, it was before their time. There was a young man who was sick from work, I think. He took two Tylenols and he died instantly. And then two of his relatives came to his house as the family was gathering, a husband and wife, and they were feeling so sad and they were kind of overcome. So they took Tylenol for their headaches and then they died. And that's when emergency personnel and medical personnel started saying, what's going on here? And then in rapid succession, they heard of other deaths around the Chicagoland area, and it was all about the Tylenol. And Bob, what's fascinating about this case, first of all, it's unsolved. A lot of people think James Lewis, who wrote the extortion letter, was actually the killer. He was never convicted, and he passed away. The Netflix documentary has the last interview with him, which is really chilling because, man, if he didn't do it, he's still one scary dude. But the other fascinating thing, too, is you remember that before the Tylenol murders, there was a few tamper-resistant packaging, blister packs, they used to call them in the 60s, but there really wasn't.
Not many. I think about that case every time I struggle to open up like a aspirin jar or something.
James Lewis actually says this in the documentary.
Oh, really?
They give him a box of Tylenol, and he goes, oh, I bet people curse my name, because now, of course, they glue the box, and then there's a shrink wrap over it, and then there's a foil seal. There's like a three-tier tamper-resistant. But back in the day, and this is why he was, whoever was able to do this, it was very easy because it was just flaps on a box and you opened it up and the capsules themselves, you could just screw them open and put potassium cyanide in there, which is so deadly. It's like the thing in the movies where somebody takes that pill and it's a real life thing. So the people who died, it's not like there are any symptoms. It happens within minutes, which made it that much more randomly cruel and just fate picking out people. And of course, there was a famous photo. The Tribune carried a photo of one young woman buying the Tylenol that was going to take her life. And there's a man in the background watching her on a security camera that they think could be James Lewis.
People were really, really scared when this happened, remember?
It was terrifying. And of course, because it was 1982, there was no social media blast, no Twitter, no TikTok, you know, so the police literally went up and down the streets with the loudspeakers on the cars, warning people, knocking on doors. And Jane Byrne, who was the mayor, called a press conference at midnight. And everybody was like, turn on your TV to tell people, don't take Tylenol, turn it in, because they didn't want people to throw it out. They wanted to see if there were more contaminated bottles. There are some people who also believe there were more than even seven murders, because other people might have died who were older or had other medical conditions, and they wouldn't have thought, the medical examiner wouldn't have said, well, let's look for potassium cyanide poisoning.
So is the case technically still open?
It's still open. The Netflix documentary features interviews with the former police superintendents, some FBI agents, because they never could put a case together together for a prosecutor to feel like they could confidently go after James Lewis. They went after another suspect at one point who actually killed the guy he thought had turned him into police, but it was a mistaken identity case. There's all sorts of twists and turns in this case, which is why I think the documentary is still fascinating to people who probably weren't even born in 1982.
The other thing that came out of the whole tragedy was a lesson in crisis management, because the company, the Tylenol company, they handled it as good as anybody possibly could, don't you think?
Yeah, it was Johnson & Johnson and then McNeil Laboratories, and they were transparent about it. They took in tens of millions of bottles of Tylenol. I think they did settle some cases, you know, but people at the time thought they're never going to recover from this, and they managed to regain the public trust. And yes, because part of it was because they were like, listen, we want to know where this happened. We don't think it happened within one of our factories. We don't think it happened with one of our employees, but let's find out. So yeah, crisis management, a lot of current people working in that field learned from this case.
Cold Case of Tylenol Murders on Netflix. It's worth watching. Richard Roper, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
See you next week.